Hey everyone, Scruffy Fern back again. Really excited today. Today's our first session of Q&A for Codename Goa. So we're going to be talking about a few different things. I want to go over the proposal interim, a competition that's coming up very, very soon. So we'll talk about that a little bit. And we'll take all your questions. So if you have any, queue them up. We have some helpers on the chat line willing to answer any program questions or anything like that for you. So if you have any, yeah, just feel free to throw them in chat and we'll get to them. So I thought I'd take a little bit of time and talk to you guys about what a GDD is. Now, a lot of you might not have heard the term GDD before. Some of you probably have. It is a very popular term in game design. So it stands for a game design document, which is basically a highly detailed way of expressing what the plan and project is going to be. So you walk through the exact details of how everything's going to be implemented. It talks about, you know, the story, the background, all those things, and it packages everything up into a nice, easy to read, easy to find, easy to edit format so that everybody kind of knows that they're on the same page. So the GDD is created by the entire development team. This is through a collaboration of everyone from the artists to the programmers, to management. Everyone has a turn at taking a shot at adding little pieces to the GDD to basically, give it that full rounded feel, right? You don't want just your programmers working on your GDD and you don't want just your artists. You want everybody kind of in the mix to get their voice in there and make sure that they all have, their little piece of the pie marked out inside of this document. Another big thing about GDDs is they're often attached to the agreements between publishers and the developer. The reason for this is because, like I said, it lays out the groundwork of what this project's going to be, right? It's the complete description of what you're going to be building, and it's a way for the publisher to keep the developer in check and make sure that they're actually doing what they said they're going to be doing. So it's almost pretty much guaranteed that if you were to sign an agreement with some sort of publisher, they're going to ask for a GDD. Now, I'm a strong believer in that you should use a GDD for pretty much every project that you're working on, whether it be a one-man to two-man project. And the reason for that is GDDs help kind of solidify the idea in your mind, right? It helps kind of balance out what you're thinking and what's realistic and what is obtainable. So it doesn't matter if it's a one-person team or, a 30-person team, you should take the time to actually put down some documentation around it. Okay, so GDDs, they're usually done in the pre-production stage of a game. This is usually referred to as the concept document. These early versions are usually very incomplete. They more or less just have the high overview, maybe a little bit of fine details around mechanics and user input, things like that. But overall, they're pretty much conceptual. It's to give the idea behind the game. So once you hit the approval point, once your team has said, okay, you know what, this is the game that we're going to make, or maybe your publisher signs off on it, whatever it might be, that's when the document really starts to expand. This is where you kind of flesh things out. You start to add the minute details around the story, the levels, and things like that. It's constantly being changed and revised on the fly. Game development is a fast-paced industry, and as such, these documents need to be kept up to date. It's very, very important. So these could change daily. So make sure you, if you're working on them, that you keep looking at them on a daily basis. And as such, they're often referred to as a living document, right? Because like I said, they're changing constantly, they're morphing, they're growing as the project grows. So you'll hear a lot of people refer to a GDD as a living document. So why use a GDD? Well, simply, it provides clarity and consistency, right, and certainty in the project. It lets everybody know where they need to be, what they should be working on. There's no guesswork, right? It stops the varying from the plan. You won't have people just deciding that, I've got to implement such and such a mechanic, so they'll go off and decide that this is how they're going to implement it, right? Not really knowing what the plan is for that. So by having a GDD and locking down these ideas, you keep from people from trailing off and interpreting how things should be implemented. It also provides a really easy path to scheduling. If you think about it, you're going to be locking down your ideas and you're going to know where you kind of want to be. So as you're writing your GDD, you're going to be setting milestones for yourself. And that makes it really, really easy for planning, right? Because you can know where you need to be and where you should be as you look at these documents. So it's very, very helpful. And another one is it helps keep ideas grounded. Like I said, when you put an idea into a document, it actually fleshes it out. It makes you think about things that you might not have thought about. And instead of just running haphazardly into them as they come up, this actually lets you sit down and think about it and lets you think, is the idea behind the actual game even obtainable? Is it something that, you know, is maybe a little bit too hard, or maybe it's above budget, or, you know, maybe you just don't have the staff to pull these things off? So by writing it down and thinking about it, you can actually kind of keep your ideas a little bit more grounded. So the basic structure of any GDD is kind of like this. Now, this isn't a complete list, and a lot of these can be kind of taken piecemeal depending on whether or not it fits your game plan. Also, some of these can actually be broken down into other documents. So you might see things like TDDs, which are a technical design document, or an art design document, where you could break these things down even further, and those would be more geared towards just, you know, your technical workers and your artists in general, right? But basically, this is the structure that you would kind of want in any sort of GDD. First is your introduction. Now, this is probably the most important part of any GDD. You can think of this as being like your elevator pitch, right? You only have 30 seconds to really lock in the reader and let them know what this game is about. So you want to keep it very brief, but descriptive as possible, right? So make sure you take a lot of time and really work through your introduction. After that, you've got your genre or target audience. You should basically be setting out, you know, is this an RPG? Is it a first-person shooter? What is the overall genre of this? And who's the target audience? Who are you trying to aim for? Is it, you know, males between the age of 14 and 39? Is it female gamers? Whatever it might be, you kind of want to lock that down and give an idea to the reader who the target audience is. And you can even take it one step further and talk about what platforms you're going to be targeting, right? Is this going to be a mobile game? Is this going to be something that just runs on the Xbox or PlayStation or whatever it might be? After that, you have your kind of your story and background. Now, in the conceptual stage and in your early pre-pitch, if you will, documents, the story and background doesn't really need to be that fleshed out. It is a good idea to include it, but I can kind of consider that optional in the first little bit. But you can go right into detail and talk about, you know, where the characters came from, stuff like that, the story of why, you know, if it's an RPG, why you're going on this epic quest to save the princess or whatever it might be. And then after that, you kind of want to walk through your characters. You want to break them down. Who are the characters? Who's the protagonist? Who's the villain? Those types of things. Talk about what they look like, their attitudes, things like that. As it grows and as your artists come in and your writers come in, this section is going to grow immensely, right, as they start adding backstory for each one of the characters and stuff like that. Level and environment design. So this is where you're going to actually describe what the levels look like, what the environment's going to look like, right? If it's a multiplayer game where it's like a first-person shooter or something, maybe you have maps of, drawings of the maps that you're going to lay out if it's like a Call of Duty type game. Then you want to get into your gameplay and key features. So what is the gameplay all about? Describe the mechanics in detail. This is where you want to be really precise, because this is what your programmers are going to go off of, right? So make sure you lock down the mechanics really tight in here, and as well as highlight some of the key features. My advice is, if it's a smaller game, you can probably get away with one or two key features. That's okay. But if it's a bigger game, try to add more key features and lock down really what sets this apart from other, say, first-person shooters or RPGs or whatever your game is. Adding too many key features can kind of be a detriment as well, though. If I'm a reader and I'm reading through it and I see all these key features, if they're, you know, a huge list, I'm going to start thinking to myself, this is a monolithic project. Like, how is anybody going to accomplish all of these features? So you kind of have to have a balancing act. You don't want too few, but you don't want too many. Art and concept art. So this is completely optional to me in the concept stage, mostly because a lot of us that are going to be originally writing these GDDs may not have the artistic skills to put in concept art. But if you can include something, maybe even if it's screenshots or stuff from the internet, make sure you check the copyrights and don't, you know, break anybody's copyrights. But on the same time, you can kind of use certain pieces of art and stuff to convey what you're looking at, what the feel of the game is supposed to look like, right? Same with sound and music. You might not actually have the sound or music on hand, but you might be able to point to something, say, point to a certain sonnet or something that says, you know, this is what I'm looking for in the game. This is the kind of sound that I want. Or you could just describe it in words, right? As long as you describe, like, you know, an eerie background sort of noises. You can hear crickets in the background, things like that. If you write that out, it kind of gives everybody an idea of what you're looking for. Then you come to user face. And screen mock-ups. This is important to include, even in kind of in the concept. I like to, even if it's just a screenshot of someone else's game, and I kind of mark over the HUD and how I want things laid out. This is important because your artists are going to take these screenshots and they're going to kind of develop what they think the UI should look like, as well as it's a good representation for anybody reading through it really quickly to kind of get an idea of, like, this is what it's going to look like when I first boot up the game. This is kind of the idea, right? And of course, you want to lay out your game controls. What's the input like, right? Is this a Kinect game? Is it, is it going to be using Oculus? Things like that. You're going to want to lay down how the controls are laid out, just so everybody has a basic idea around that. So that's kind of the structure. Like I said, you can kind of take and remove pieces as necessary. And like I said, in the concept stage, it's going to be very, very light, but as it grows, it's going to become more and more dense. It's important that you keep up on these documents. So I thought I would take just a split second here and show you something, show you a GDD that I wrote back in 2012, believe it or not. So this one's a little bit old. But this one is good as a concept. So this is something that I wrote when I first thought of the idea of the game, and I was really trying to flesh out the idea. So right off the bat, you'll see here, you have your title screen. You should kind of make it a little bit flashy. It doesn't have to be, crazy with graphics, but at least have something there that kind of conveys the idea of the game. Then, of course, you're going to have your table of contents. Very, very important. People are going to want to know what they're looking for right off the bat. They don't want to go searching through the document. So you'll notice right off the at the top here, I have design history. This is really important. Every time you make a change to this document, you should have a list of change sets. Everything that was changed in that document should be listed there. And then, of course, I go into my game overview. I talk about the philosophy. And then I answer some of the common questions that you get asked about your game. Simply, what is the game? Why am I creating this game? Where does the game take place? What do I control? How many characters do I control? And what is the main focus? So these questions can change depending on what your project is, but they're a pretty good outline of what the kind of questions that maybe an investor or a marketer or somebody along those lines are going to be asking you, right? So you kind of want to answer those in detail in at least one or two pages. Then I go into my feature set, so I talk about my general features and my gameplay. So I talk about how the game works and basically, all the mechanics behind that. Then I go into my game world and I kind of talk about the overview of what I'm looking for, key locations in the world, maybe objects that you're going to find throughout the world, things like that. Then I talk a little bit about my game engine and my overall view of what I want for my game engine, as well as my input model. Now, those you could actually break into two separate pieces, but for the sake of this, there wasn't a lot in each section, so I just kind of included them. Next, I do the user interface, and I'll actually show you that. It's where I take a screenshot and just kind of overlay the HUD, and then I mark the HUD down and kind of explain it in detail as well. Then I go into my music and sound effects, basically explaining what the feel is, maybe any sound effect list that I might need. If I need, like, a jumping effect, I'm going to list that as something that I need, a death effect, whatever it might be. I'm going to list all of those out so that I can actually fill them in later. And of course, then I'm going to break it down to the single player. If it was a multiplayer game, I might have a multiplayer section here. And I'm going to talk about the overview of how the game is played, the story behind the game, and of course the victory conditions, which kind of rounds out everything. So if you were to take a look at this document really quickly, as a conceptual document, you could pretty easily read through and get an idea of what the game's going to be like before, you even start programming. So I'll just kind of dive in and just show you a little bit of the key sections. So here's the design history, like I was saying. Very, very important. You want to make sure that you include any changes that you make, and every time you make a change, you want to change or increment the version number. Another section that is kind of important, I'll just scroll down until I find it here, is the screenshot section. So this is my user interface. So I have a quick overview of what I'm looking for and what I want it to look like. And then, as you can see, this is programmer art at its very finest. So what I've done is I've just laid out where things are going to be basically on the screen, right? So up here at the top, I have, a very poorly drawn mini map. And then down here, I mark it out and I say the level map. This tells the player how far along they're going to be. And I do that for every object on the screen so that I can tell this is why it's here and this is why we're going to be using it. So this, even in your conceptual state, is a really, really good idea, especially when you start working with your artists. That's pretty much the overview of a GDD. If we jump back in my slides here. Some common mistakes that I see when I talk to people and when I see their GDDs, first being the fact that they set goals that are just literally unattainable. right? This is due to a lot of things, due to budget, due to team size, due to a lot of different things. You want to make sure that you set your moonshots with, you know, within relativity of the entire project. One or two isn't a bad idea, but if your entire project is just a bunch of moonshots, chances are it's never going to get off the ground. So make sure that you set goals that you know you can attain in a reasonable amount of time as well. Another big problem is lack of content. So, you know, a lot of people, they'll start at the conceptual state and they'll have this really light document, and then all of a sudden they basically don't add they don't add anything else to it, right? They just leave it the way it is. They don't start filling in the details. And so then when you have new people come onto the project and they pick up this GDD, it's very light and it doesn't really serve the purpose that it was meant to serve. And that's just basically giving them the path that they need to go and complete their tasks. Another one is the team drifts off course. It's a good idea to keep people going back to the GDD almost on a daily basis. Like I said, it can change daily, it can change hourly. So you want to make sure people are going back. Every time they start a new task, or maybe even halfway through the task, they go back and make sure that they're on track and hitting what they're supposed to be hitting. It's very, very important, and it's very, very easy, especially in larger teams, to have people kind of drift off and start doing their own little thing. Another big one is the document is just left to collect dust. This isn't a document that you just create and leave. It's a living document. So you have to be going back in, constantly making changes, updating it. As you add new items, as you change things, this must be reflective in the document. If your document is even one step behind your production, it serves no purpose. So make sure, yeah, you take the time, update it constantly. This is probably the most important thing that I can give you on the advice of GDDs. Keep it up to date. So I'll give you guys a few resources while we wait to see if anybody asks any questions. First off is a Wicked Game of Sutra article that talks about what it's like to write a good GDD. So if you get a chance, take a look at that one. We'll share these slides out somehow and make sure you guys can have these links. As well as Iron Belly Studios has offered up a complete template for a GDD online that you can actually download and actually work with that and just kind of mock that up to your own there. Some really good books, these ones I've read myself, Andrew Rowling's and Ernest Adams on Game Design. It's a little bit of an older book, I think like 2003-ish, but it's fantastic and goes really deep into some of the design. Another really good book is The Fundamentals of Game Design, second edition. This is also from Ernest Adams, obviously the godfather of game design, as it were. He goes really, really in depth on a lot of different things. The section on GDD is only a few pages, but he does really explain why you want the documents and what it means to the entire team. So very, very good read as well. So definitely check out those resources if you get a chance. Thank you very much for tuning in, and happy coding.